No Place Like Home. How many people know what No Place Like Home is from? Wizard of Oz. What is the movie about? In a nutshell, can anyone just say it out loud? What's
a crazy dream?
No Place Like Home. No Place Like Home. It's about a girl trying to find home, right? She's lost in a strange land among strange people, and she really is just trying to find her way home. That's the essence of the story of Wizard of Oz, No Place Like Home. She realizes how much she misses home when she's actually gone. No Place Like Home. I want to look at an interesting little creature found in the Bible that just blew my mind in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26. It's going to be on the screen. Check it out. The rock badgers are but a feeble folk. Yet, everyone say yet.
Yes.
Make their homes in the rocks. I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to be known as a feeble folk. The rock badgers are but a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the rocks. Today, the entire sermon can be summed up in this one statement. There is great protection if you're planted in the right place. My goodness, this is a great message today. The rock badgers, I love it. I'm excited for it. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand that there is great protection being planted in the right place. Lord, for some of us, maybe we've been not planted in the right places or the wrong places or whatever it might be, but let us understand that being in the right place at the right time, there is divine protection. Lord, encourage us to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The rock badger, a couple stats on the rock badger. Its name in the Middle East is Hyrax. I don't know if you knew that. H-Y-R-A-X, Hyrax. Wikipedia states the Hyrax is a squat, furry animal found across the Middle East. This is the weirdest creature I've ever, like, and I didn't even know this existed until I read it in the Bible, and I was like, really? Why? Like, what is your purpose, little animal? It's 2 feet in length, and 10 inches high. We're gonna show a picture, not yet, because you guys are gonna say, ah, it's so cute, and then you won't hear anything else I say, but it's this animal that's 2 feet long, 10 inches high, furry, that doesn't do a whole lot. In case you didn't know, these animals are unkosher, so if you have a kosher kitchen, do not eat them. Just wanted to give you a heads up if you happen to find a Hyrax. And this is the weird part. They look like bunny rabbits, okay? But it says that their relative is an elephant and a rhinoceros. Yeah, no, this is accurate, okay? I know I got off of Wikipedia, but this part is accurate. I had to double check with Google. And it says the key focus is distantly related to the elephant and the rhinoceros. It says that they are gregarious creatures, meaning they love company. They live in packs of 80, just piled together. If you've ever seen that one Star Trek episode, there's like the little furry creatures that are just pouring out the vents. That's these things, okay? They are ridiculous. Okay, I think it's time to look at the picture. Let's show a picture of what a Hyrax. This is a Hyrax. That's 2 feet long, 10 inches high. Now, and all church said, oh, it's a wiener dog. They are cute creatures. The Bible describes them as being feeble, but they are strong based on their home. Their location provides their strength. They're found in the Middle East. They're found amongst the most dangerous places. And I wanted to take a message today and really just look at 4 things we can learn from these feeble little creatures that sit around on rocks and sticks all day. All right? The Bible talks about them, so I think we can learn about them 2. So number one, first point. In your bulletins, if you have your bulletins, there are 4 points today. Fill in the first blank. It's the first thing they do. Number one, their retreat. Their retreat, their retreat. These creatures sit out on rocks, sunbathing all day. Do you know 95% of their day-to-day life is sitting on a rock, just loving up the sun? Must be nice. But they focus on the retreat. I looked up the definition of retreat. It's a quiet, secluded place in which one can rest and relax. Think about that. Sitting out on the rocks with all the predators circling around, all the hawks, the birds, the whatever else is in that area, trying to eat these feeble little folk, they're ready for a retreat. They're ready to go into the rocks. Their strength doesn't come from their abilities, but where they live. The Bible actually says that they live inside sheer rock faces. They have a home that provides safety. A recipe for avoiding defeat is having a place of safety that builds you up and gives you comfort and gives you rest. A retreat, a retreat. Do you have a place for a retreat in your life? Do you have something where if the enemy comes in, are you ready to go there? Are you living closely to a retreat? Not to where you get so far away and wander away from your home to where when the enemy comes in, there's no place to get to, but are you living in community with the ability to retreat swiftly? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26, same verse again, but just out of the Message translation says this, vulnerable as they are, manage to arrange for rock solid homes. Do you have a place, a rock solid home? In this series, we're in the series called Home Sweet Home. You see it on the screen, you'll see it on your bulletin, Facebook, everywhere. It's our graphic, Home Sweet Home. We're not just looking at our home life, but our church home life. We're trying to put the sweet back in our home life, trying to put the sweet back in our church life. Psalm 68, verse 6 says this, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Check out these. I found these quotes. Until you get to heaven, make sure you live in a haven. It's good. It'll click over. It's all right. Just write it down. You'll get it later. To avoid defeat, make sure you have a retreat. If you don't have a place to retreat to weekly, the enemy sees your life as open season. You know, if these little creatures just sat on the rock and like an eagle's flying over, if they see 79 run away and one sitting out, where's the eagle gonna go after? The one that's sitting out, right? It's like, oh man, I think I'm gonna try to climb inside this rock with 79 others. Oh, it wants to swoop and take off the one that's sitting out. So, for those of you who know, I love looking up practical examples and turning them over to spiritual examples for us. So I looked up 3 tips for finding the perfect home, and it was on a real estate website. I'm saying that word wrong. 3 tips for finding the perfect home. 3 tips for finding the perfect home from a real estate website. So A, realtors say, always go for the long haul. Always go for the long haul. These transfer to spiritual principles so well. Go for the long haul. Realtors say, when you're looking for a home, a place to call your home, don't just go and find somewhere that's like short and temporary and like some place that you're sometimes there and then you're sometimes on a vacation. They say, look for a place you're gonna call home. Staying in a place longer will help you avoid those added costs. It started listing out the cost of trying to get all the fees of moving and then all the taxes and everything that's involved with buying a home. And if you keep moving from home to home, you have to keep paying all these fees over and over and over. This real estate website is fantastic for spiritual principles. By staying planted, you will avoid the cost of moving from church to church to church. Do you see how that just clicked over right there? By moving from place to place to place to place, it'll cost you time, energy, and close-knit relationships. Yeah, it's good. Part of the long haul says, search for one that you could see yourself living in for several years. Saying, you know what? I'm at this place in my life right now, but I know that I'm gonna be here down the line. I might just need to know what a believer is and a new Christian is now, and this church facilitates that need. But down here in like 3 years, I wanna be discipled. So look at a place that will take you from A to B to C to D. You don't want to just go for like one aspect for right now. That's temporary living. You want to go through the process. It also says in the long haul, lifelong relationships can develop with your neighbors. I think it's kind of funny you guys came here today because you are our neighbors for years. And that was actually my points, and that was crazy. Anyways, lifelong relationships can develop with your neighbors. And I needed to add this in. My wife said that sometimes I preach and I jump to conclusions that you just read my mind and you'll understand what I'm thinking. But I need to say some things out loud. The lifelong relationships don't happen during high five time at church, okay? That's not the time that develops lifelong relationships. The times that do are the moments after service when you talk to someone that, hey, I'm gonna go eat, you're gonna go eat, let's may as well go eat together. It's those times that you grow the closest. I was talking to a couple families in the church and I was like, how did you guys get so close? And they said that at one point our church actually had, instead of chairs set up, they had tables and then chairs set up and you sat with someone random for the whole service and then there was a time to talk to those people during service for several minutes. And it was because of that time that they're still close today. It's those moments more than just a high five. It's also the serving moments. You both jump in and get trained to help out in children's ministry or whatever other area, and you're sitting there doing something and you're cutting out styrofoam for hours on days for VBS. Life happens and you start talking during those moments. You know, the stage design is like, I'm convinced stage design in churches is one of the greatest ways to build relationships. You just said, Tawny, can we be honest? Is that the stage design? When you're up till 4 a.m. working, trying to get a stage done for a camp, you get to know them real well, right? All right, so the realtor says, A, go for the long haul. B, leave room to grow. And I kind of touched on this on A, but I'm going to say it anyways. Aim for a home that will adapt to your needs over time. From new believer to season leader. Oh, I love this. The realtors say this. These guys can preach, I'm convinced. If it doesn't have what you foresee needing, be willing to help build it in the future. Oh my goodness. That can preach right off the realtor website, right there. If it doesn't have what you need, be willing to say, hey, I'm gonna step up and help build it. All right, C, realtors say, be flexible. It might not be perfect or ideal now, but with your effort, it can become perfect. They also say in the flexibility, consider a place with rooms that can serve multiple functions. So the home remains highly functional for you through the years. Be flexible. You might be in kids ministry now, but God will work on you and he'll keep focus on you. Some will stay in children's ministry, some will develop here, some will develop there and then transfer into, I keep building up, reminding about children's ministry, but it's just on my heart this week. Be flexible. All right, number two, the hyrax. The hyrax, that's not the point. I'm just reminding us we're talking about these furry little creatures. You can put up one more time. They're so cute. I'm convinced if like these lived in our area, my daughter would probably have already captured one and have it living in her closet. Like that is a guarantee. She has captured things outside and brought them inside. Number two, their feet. Their feet. How they get to the place they live. I was looking at some of the homes that these hyraxes live on. Some of them actually are just sheer cliffs and they live in the middle, but they sunbathe at the bottom and they're still able to retreat in enough time to make it up the cliff into their hole before the eagle gets them. Because there's something unique about a hyrax. Can we show the picture of their feet real quick? And it's coming. There it goes. This is why they're distantly related to the elephant. I know that sounded funny, but that's actually that really is serious. So their feet, they're concave. What happens is they have these really rubbery pads, and all their sweat glands on their entire body are in their feet. And so when they're scared, all of a sudden the sweat glands activate and their feet act like a suction cup. They can run straight up a wall, just like a gecko, because it's like, and they just go up there, complete with sound effects. Their feet. They have the ability to retreat because their feet. Their feet plant where they need to be. Their feet become planted and are unable to move, even on a sheer cliff. When the storms of life hit, their feet keep them planted. So Psalms 92, verse 13, the key word is planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So there's a perk or a benefit by remaining planted. They shall flourish. There's power that comes from being planted. I had shared an illustration a couple weeks ago, and I just thought it was so perfect, but I want to share it again. How many people have ever seen the redwoods, the redwood forests? Have you, like, they're like these tiny little trees that sit off in a forest. And if you bump against one, it's like, it'll break. Just kidding. If you don't know, redwoods are some of the biggest and oldest trees on this earth. But here's the wild thing about it. We all know that trees can't grow big unless they have good roots, right? That's a given. You can't have a giant tree without having good roots. But do you know the redwood, their roots only grow 6 feet deep? Is that correct? That's it. That's the depth of their roots. They don't go any further. And they're the tallest trees in the world. And you know, and you think, in my head, I would think, okay, well, if they grow shallow, they gotta be huge roots. Do you know they grow to an inch thick? That's it, like your finger. That's like the finger is the size of redwood roots. But then scientists say, it's the roots, individual roots of a redwood isn't what gives a redwood tree its power and ability to withstand storms. It's that it goes down a little bit and then out 80 feet. And then has the ability to connect with other redwoods and get intermingled. And it's because of this root system of intermingling with its neighbors and community that when storms hit, the storm isn't hitting a tree, it hits a community because it's so interconnected. It can't be blown over because of the community it's in. It's stuck there because it's intermingled. It's planted. I don't think I've ever seen a guy take a redwood and like put it in a potted plant and be like, man, this is gonna be such a great tree, and move it around from place to place in its yard. No, that We know that's silly, that's ridiculous. But we're also designed like that, to develop roots and get connected so that when something happens in our life, we can brace ourselves with another person and say, man, I'm going through this. Can we get to know each other? And that time only develops not through high five time, but relationship time through coffee, through eating, through whatever it is, but spending the time together. It's that bracing in community. I was really thinking about this in regards to community. It's easy to like be that pendulum of zero community to like over community, if you will, where it's like, what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? What are you going to give? But in reality, it's what we give each other. And you can't, don't allow yourself to pendulum swing of it's about me, 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 but it's about us. Do you know, how many people have ever been to like a family gathering? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where like a bunch of people come over and then there's like always like five, six people that no one knows, but everyone else thinks someone else invited them. They're just neighbors that showed up for the good food. Like, you know, the family gatherings. Tony, that was real. That was a real laugh because that's happened, I bet. There is this thing that happens in family gatherings, right? Everyone brings something. Everyone brings something to the table and we all share it. That's what the goal is of a community of Christ. We all bring something to the table and we all share out of it. We all grow out of it. We all get together out of it. Psalm 27:4. One thing. Everyone say one thing.
One thing.
One thing. I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. One thing. One thing, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's about being connected. It's about sharing together, being community together. Staying planted gives you an anchor for the storms in life. Number three, the Hyrax. Could put it one more time. I just like looking at this little thing. It's so funny. You know, put it up. Okay, so it looks cute. I'm just gonna let you know. Don't do this now. No one take out your phone. Don't even do it. Google them later. So this picture is cute. But the moment they open their mouth, they are not cute anymore. They have like these two giant like fangs that pop out that are just gross and nasty. Ty, don't put up on the screen. I know you, Ty. Ty is famous for like putting up something that I say and then distracting me for like 10 minutes. It's not gonna happen today. Number three, the third thing that they have, all of them have in common, is their heat. Their heat. Their retreat, their feet, their heat. I know. We are straight up rhyming today. Their heat. 95% of their time is spent resting while heaping. H-E-A-P-I-N-G. Heaping. Have you ever heard, like someone says, take a spoonful of sugar, not the messenger, not that part, but take the spoonful of sugar, put a heaping spoonful of sugar in. It's like this overflowing imagery. Well, that's a noun. This is the verb of that. Heaping. These little creatures come together and heap in a pile to get warm. You know, they have to get together and share their heat under the sun. Because did you know if they don't receive enough heat during the day, at night they freeze to death. Yeah, they're weird creatures. I'm explaining it. It's actually a technical term. It's called this. They do this to compensate for poorly developed thermal regulators. Whatever that means. I read it had that and then explained right after it. When you take a Slurpee and you drink it too fast and you get a brain freeze, you have a thermal regulator that all of a sudden opens up your blood vessels and shoots the blood into your brain, and it has this, like, it hurts. Well, they don't have that. So whatever they don't feel what they're supposed to feel, and so they could just be cold and not know it and then just die because their blood isn't circulating right. So during the day, they get super hot and then go back into their homes all together and stay warm throughout the entire night. Okay? In community, they stay alive and thrive. They're heat. They're heat. They got to help each other stay hot. Heaping. So imagine that plus 75 more, okay? They do this all day long. No, let's take it off. Okay. I'm noticing everyone's like, oh, I just want to pet one. They're heat. They're heat. Just hear me out for a second. They have to help each other stay warm. They have to help each other stay warm. They have to help each other stay warm. What does that kick over for us as a Christian? We have to help each other stay on fire for God. We have to help each other get ready for when the night comes and it's dark around us. We have to help each other. We have to be in community. If you haven't guessed it, this message is a community message. Listen to this. Depression, loneliness, and isolation are oftentimes symptoms of a lack of basking under the sun together. What do I mean by that? It's a symptom of not coming together in community, basking under the sun of God. Helping each other stay hot, stay on fire for God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Excuse me. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worship together as some do, but spurring each other on. I'm going to read that one more time. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worship together as some do, but spurring each other on. Did you catch it? There's four things the verse talks about. Four ways to move from the outside to the inside. Four ways to break free of depression, loneliness, isolation. If you're going through that, seriously, write this down. There's four things that the Bible verse talks about doing in order to break free of this. A, it says, encourage someone. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love. Don't wait around for trying to grab what you need. Just walk up and say, man, I love your shirt. You're doing awesome today. Encourage someone. You don't understand the bondage that you're breaking when you lift someone else up in encouragement. B, serve somewhere. Again, the verse says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. So be served somewhere. If you're dealing with one of these, serve somewhere. C, again, going back to the verse, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worship together. So C, participate in the worship services. Participate in what's going on with God and the community. Going back to the verse one more time, I think this might be the most times I've ever read one verse in a service. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worship together as some do, but spurring each other on. D, not like spurring, I don't know, don't spur someone, but it means grabbing lunch or coffee, spending time with someone, building that relationship up. All right, number four, last one. You think it rhymes? I bet it does. Number four, their repeat. Their repeat. Repeat. Something really interesting about this squat-free creature is how they're built and how they're designed and how God put them together is they're a very unique animal in regards to their eyesight and repetition. Do you know this creature? They have to spend 95% of the day resting in community and working on their heat. But in doing that, they spend the time alternating, looking up and staring at the sun. I don't know if anyone's ever tried doing that. It's painful. Don't do that. But with these creatures, this is what's wild. In their eyes, they have this thing called a sun visor built into the retinas. So when they look at the sun, it removes 100% of the glare, and they actually are just seeing something that's kind of glowing bright, but they can see everything else in adjacent and in front of the sun. So they stare at the sun and they see everything else. It's wild. It's crazy. They have a sun visor built in. It's said that their number one predator, you ready for this? It's called the black eagle. And its main form of attack is this. So it'll sit on a mountain somewhere and be able to see a creature sitting out in the sun, fly up to this, like not to the sun, but fly up in the sky, and then from the angle of the sun, swoop down and catch the creature and fly away. These are the only creatures that stare at the sun looking for things to attack them. Is that wild? So this is flying towards them going, ha ha, they can't see me. And they're like, there's an eagle coming. Let's go home. I was thinking about this. The longer you spend staring at the sun, not the sun in our sky, but the Son of God, the more you can differentiate and see the differences when the enemy tries to step between you and God and try to swoop in. They repeat. And it only develops if they have a constant repetitious looking at the sun. See, for some of us, it's oh, I'll look at God, once every so often, and we aren't able to see and identify what's trying to block in between God and us. It's about the repetition. It's about seeing God and knowing. See, when the enemy tries to get in between, you won't hear the wrong voice and be misled thinking that God told you one thing, when in reality the enemy is trying to separate you from the family, separate you from the herd. So many times as a pastor, I hear people say, you know, God told me this or God told me this. And then 4 days later, they say, God told me this. And it contradicts before and after. And I'm like, well, let's pray about this and make sure this is thus saith the Lord. Is it a good idea or is it a God idea? So check this out. John 10:4-5 says this. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. I love when God starts off. It's like, let me make this simple and basic. I always love those verses. I'm like, thank you, God. That was for me. If a person climbs over or through a fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. A sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. I was listening to this documentary on the radio, and this lady was, I can't remember what country she flew to, but there's still a lot of sheep herders and sheep going on, and they still have to do the whole sheep thing, okay? I'm sure in America we still do that. I don't see that in Ventura, okay? And she was saying how she was in the field and all she could see was, as far as the eye can see, was just sheep. Sheep everywhere. There's water, there's grass, they're grazing. And she said she was standing there and there was about 7-8 shepherds standing next to her talking. And she was asking about different things. Oh, what do you do? What do you do? Is there something special, a special diet? And then all of a sudden she said, I came to a realization. You all are standing here. You're from different farms, different locations, and all your sheep are intermingled. And she said, aren't you afraid like someone else is gonna get some extra sheep and you're gonna lose your livelihood? And they all kind of said, no, that's not an issue at all. And she said, oh, okay, I'm sure you're right. And so they kept talking, and then eventually one of them said, okay, I have to leave. My family's waiting for me. And they made a certain sound. And all of a sudden she saw all these scattered sheep stick their head up and then start pulling out of the main herd. And then she said, that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Later on, another one had to leave and he made a different sound and boop, and individuals heard it and started moving out. And she came to the conclusion that what the Bible talks about, the sheep knowing the voice of the shepherd, sheep have this ability to say, I can discern who my shepherd is and who isn't. Why? Because they spent the time with the shepherd. They spent the time with him or her. It's about repetitious. It's about repeating. It's about over and over and over hearing the voice of God. I'm going to wrap it up. I know we're running over today. But I wanted to end on something I deem is critical in life. I'm going to wrap up the message on this. Three ways to start hearing God. I think it's valid. I've heard so many people come up for prayer and say, is this God? Am I hearing God's voice? Is this, and they're wrestling with that. What is God speaking to me today? Three ways to start hearing God. A, he speaks through peace. When God speaks to you, is an immediate supernatural peace brought over your life. When you're wrestling with something and you're like, God, am I supposed to do this or this? Is this job right? Is this thing? Is there a peace, a supernatural peace that comes with it? B, he speaks when you listen. I know that sounds basic and silly, but it's true. Have you sat in your room and just listened? God, speak to me for your servant is listening, and just wait. Do you know that some of the most powerful moments I've ever had with God were times that I just took my phone and put it in the living room and then just walked in my bedroom and just sat there and listened? No distractions. Locked my children outside. I'm just kidding. I gotta end with a laugh. C, last one. He speaks through his word. Speaks through his word. If you want to hear God speak to you, open up your word. Find a place where you're comfortable and just start reading. Look up verses of things you're dealing with. If you want healing, look up verses on healing. If you need direction in your life, look up verses on direction. God's covered a lot of bases in the Bible. What are you going through? Amen?
Amen.
All right. I want to wrap up. Can you guys close your eyes today? No place like home. You know, my favorite part about Wizard of Oz is in her search for home, she found what she needed in the company that she found. Everything that she was going through, all the fear, anxiety, everything she needed was found in her traveling companions. Lord, I pray that you administer to us today. That as we celebrate after church and throughout this week and we have lunches and dinners and coffees and all the above, that, Lord, you would help us engage into community for life change. Give us purpose, give us direction, give us understanding. Lord, these rock badgers are feeble folk, but they find strength and protection in their home. Lord, give us supernatural protection in this home from this church. Whoever would enter in here into community would be protected from the storms of life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.